That's Ben's cousin right there. You see that guy? You really believe that?
No.
Okay, good. Because I'm lying to you. Megan is here. Some of you are like, who the heck is Megan? Megan is one of us. She's one of ours. And she has been on a year-long mission journey, not quite over yet. Right? Am I correct in that? And she is just in. She came in because her brother was getting married. You came from Africa. Is that right? Where were you at the time that you came in?
Thailand.
And then you're going back to?
China.
So she's here for a brief moment in time. I wanted us just to pray for her for a second, okay? Let's just do that, okay? God, thank you so much for Megan and for her heart. And God, we just lift her up to you. God, we thank you for her willingness to set an example for the rest of us, to be willing to lay down everything that she has, everything of who she is, all of her possessions. God, to be able to follow you and do something that you've called her to do. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to use her as she's going to be going back. God, just know, let her know, God, that we are here praying for her and behind her and that we love her and that we're proud of her. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for allowing us to get to have people like Megan in our lives. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. She's awesome. Today we're not talking to the women. We're talking to everybody, but we're not talking about women, which is what was on the docket. I basically didn't get through even half of what I wanted to talk about last week to the men. So guess what, guys? 2 weeks for you. But it's good stuff. And I think all around, I just gotta tell you, I felt some days I leave here and I'm ready to just like drive off a cliff or something because of some of the things I feel like that I left out. And by the time I got, not literally, but you know what I'm saying, don't get worried. The deal last week when I left here, I just felt like, man, we missed some of the biggest stuff with men. We just basically kind of touched the surface. And so we're going to go through some stuff today that hopefully will be helpful to you. We got any guys in here that like to watch manly movies, just out of curiosity? Any guys like to watch manly movies? Any ladies in here like to watch manly movies? Thank you for being honest. We know why you watch them. It's not for the explosions. You've got your typicals like Terminator and Die Hard and you know typical man movies. I think we've even got a little music for some man movies. We'll see if you can kind of guess what the music goes to. Go ahead, Jason. Anybody? Beverly Hills Cop. That's called Axel, by the way. I wish I had a keyboard here. I can play that. All right, let's just go to the next one. What we got next here? I'll tell you, we were on the fence about whether to call this a manly movie or not, but back in the day, it was a manly movie. Anybody? Top Gun, of course. All right. Part of the reason, bring that down a little bit. You know, part of the reason why we weren't sure if we could classify this in with the man day or not was just, I don't know how manly Kenny Loggins himself is. But I shouldn't say that. That's probably judging Kenny Loggins. I don't need to judge his manhood. Jason, we got one more. If you don't get this, you're excommunicated from the church. Anybody? Rocky, of course. We got Eye of the Tiger. It's so powerful that the lights dim a little bit when it hits every time. Did you notice that? That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Okay, we get the picture. You know, Apollo Creed is going down. Manly movies. Yeah, and for us, I think, as I know my generation, our generation, the generations before and after me, I believe are this way too. You know, we are very much, when we think about men and we think about manly stuff, we've got kind of these certain images and things in our head of what men are and who men are and what's manly. And, you know, real men don't wear pink or put it in their hair or, you know, whatever. But I think that the culture has, we allow culture to dictate that sometimes too much. It's okay to, enjoy a good manly movie every once in a while. But I think what we've got to watch against is allowing culture to dictate to us who men really are. And see, Scripture needs to be the dictating of that. You know, and I think here's a big mistake that our culture does, and there's a lot of church culture doing this today. They want to judge who God is based upon who man is, instead of judging who man is based upon who God is. And I think that that's super important for us to just kind of remember that and keep that at the front of everything going on here. This morning, in your worship guide, in fact, if somebody would run me one of those up here, run me a spare worship guide that you've got there, you know, that you're not using or you haven't written a love note on. Thank you so much. I got an offering envelope too. The worship guide in it today has Rambo there. Thank you for Rambo. Thank you, Ben. And we've got these five blanks beside that. We're going to fill in these five blanks today with traits of godly men. And I'm purposefully giving you just like this is the bare bones of what I think that could be. And I'm not saying this is all of them. I'm not saying I've come up with the complete list. It is definitely compiled from listening to other pastors and studying Scripture and all those things kind of rolled together. But I wanted you to have something to take with you. Now, again, some of you in here are not men. You're called women. Newsflash, somebody actually laughed at that. You know, and here's the thing. You're probably going, well, I'm not a man. I don't care. You should care. If you ever want to get married, or if you are married now, then you should care, okay? The thing is that you need to know what to look for in a godly man. You need to know what to expect of your husband. If he says, honey, I want to live a godly life, I want to try my best to be a man of God, then this is what he's going to have to live up to. And I'm going to tell you, it's tough. I mean, we're doing 2 weeks on it, heck. And so, you know, for the guys, obviously, this is important. If we're trying and striving to be closer to God and who He has created us to be, first week we talked about being created in His image and constantly giving Him glory. Last week we started talking about men, of course, and we talked about things like being lords, being leaders. We're going to touch on that very briefly today, but we're going to move fast through that to get to the other stuff. The very first thing up there, the very first blank, the very first thing is what we talked about last week. It is the leaders. The lording over, the lords, if you will. I know that sounds kind of crazy. That's why I went ahead and came up with another word, leaders. If you want to put leaders, that's fine. God has called us to be leaders as men. We talked about this very briefly last week, but in Genesis 3, verses 9 through 10, it says this, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" Right there, that is the passage of Scripture where Adam and Eve, we're jumping right in this, Adam and Eve had just fallen into sin and had just eaten fruit of the tree. And you know, we've got the whole, you know, Adam, we talked about this last weekend. Go check out the podcast from last week. It definitely goes with what we're talking about this week. But what we had with Adam last week is that God's kind of going up and going, "Hey, Adam, what's going on?" And Adam's like, "It's all her. It's her fault," you know, kind of thing. But here's the thing. Did Eve tempt Adam? Absolutely. Absolutely, she did. Was it Adam's fault? No. That she tempted him? No. Is it Adam's fault that they sinned? Yes. Absolutely. You see, God didn't come looking. This is the moment where God came looking for them to deal with them, and he did not come looking for Eve. Now, it doesn't mean that he leaves Eve out. Eve, you know, kind of gets hers here after a while, but he first off, right, just comes straight to Adam. And he's saying, "But the Lord God said, called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" And you see, God is setting a precedent right here off the bat that we as men are responsible for our households. You say, "Well, Chris, that's kind of crazy. You know, I can't control everything in my house and all that." And I'm just telling you, I understand. I understand how you feel. It's a challenge. But we try. We try to do everything that we can to lead our houses in a godly way. Now, this whole lording issue, this whole being a leader issue, this submitting issue, if you want to jump to Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church's body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Check this out, verse 25. This will be a kick in the pants for you guys. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to prevent her to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That verse says a lot, but a couple of the things that it is saying, a couple of the things that it is driving home, is this: that men, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. What does that mean? That means that we're to love her like Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Christ loved the church. He led the church by serving. You see, our culture teaches us what leadership is, and I'm all about it. I read leadership books from time to time, and I'm in that, and I get that. But I think what we do is we start mixing and meshing things that, you know, are leadership principles from our culture that are true things, and then we mix them in with things here, and we want to start creating dictatorships in our homes. Ladies, your wives are not dictators over you. They should be spiritual leaders over you, helping guide you. You know, and in so many Christian homes, unfortunately, it is the wife a lot of times. It is the female that winds up leading the man. And they're the ones saying, hey, let's go to church. Hey, what should we do about this, you know, decision? What should we, instead of the man, and this is, you know, this again, it is a fight against our nature. But God set this precedent, and he set this precedent before the fall. This precedent of God creating man to lead happened before the fall. And so many times people say, well, you know, it's because we fell into sin. No, it's not because we fell into sin. This is just how God created us. I talked about this last week. We are equal. But he's created us differently. And therefore, differently in our creations, we will glorify God in different ways. What does that mean? It means this. It means that for each and every one of us, we've got to tap into who God created us to be and is calling us to be so that we know how to best give him honor and glory. It means that women are going to do the things that women are called to do. And in those things, if they will follow through with those things, those are the things that are going to give God glory. Same thing for men. Men, there are things that, you know, we got to do. We're going to talk about some of this. That God has called us to do. He's created us to do. It's part of our nature. It's part of who he created us to be. And in those things, when we follow through with those things, that is when we will give God glory. It's not a better or worse situation. And so many people say that, and that's so not true. It's just the difference between two different things meant to do some different things. They're equal. The scripture goes on in this deal, and if you're looking at this, you know, you've got, of course, Genesis chapter 3. In verses 19, it says, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since it was where you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. This is where the curse starts setting in. And right before that, what does he say? In verse 17, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Though painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. That's part of it for us, guys. We have the responsibility to cultivate, to do the ground thing, to constantly have to work, to provide. And that gets into the second thing. We talked about the Lord thing last week, so I'm not talking about it a whole lot this week. I will say this about the lording over thing. When man takes that and does it for man, it is not for God and it is sinful. When man is trying to make a wife submit to him over human, over earthly reasons, that's not a godly thing. It's sin. Okay? The second thing there in the deal, we've got the leader blank filled in there, and I've left you a little room just so you can jot a couple things as we go through this to help you remember what these things are about if you want to do more than just write the run one word. But the second thing is that we are called to be providers. In that passage of scripture that we just read, we see man as a provider. He's called to be a provider. We are called to cultivate the ground. You go back to Genesis 2:15. This is even happening again before the fall. Genesis 2:15 says this, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." From the beginning, God said, "You're going to do this. This is part of your deal." Now, I had a Bible teacher in school that he's kind of country, but he's funny, and I love him. And he used to say, and this is a very Cheatham County way of putting this, but he used to say that it was kind of like, as he grew up on the farm back years ago, you had the old tractors, and they were just the old tractors. You could hardly keep them running. And then one day, you know, on the farm, they got the brand new John Deere with like the cab that had air conditioning and a radio inside of it. And the way he used to put this was it was like Adam went backwards. He had the air-conditioned John Deere to the old nasty tractor that he had to work real hard with, kind of thing. But that's basically, in a nutshell, that's true. You know, Adam had it really good. I'm sure that, you know, the ground wasn't cursed, which is what ends up happening after the fall of man. And so Adam has to deal with that. But what happens out of this is that God has put something in Adam from Genesis 2:15 on that we are to be providers, men. We're to be providers for our family. And I am not knocking a household where you may have to do the two income thing, where maybe the wife has to work too. We got a lot of people that have to do that. That's not what this is about. What this is about is ladies, I want you to understand something about how we're made that we can't help. It's not something that we can throw off. It's not something that we will ever get rid of. But inside of us, we have something that we drives us and gives us this burning desire to provide for our families. It's there. And some of you right now, you may be thinking about some guy that's somewhere and he's like lazy and, well, that guy doesn't have that desire. Well, I'll just tell you what happens. What I have seen, my experience in counseling people like that, is that desire is still there, but because they maybe have failed at it once or twice in life, they finally start to give up, and they just basically kind of go into a recluse state, and they just go into depression because they're not fulfilling what it is that God is calling them to do. They're never happy with themselves. Men, you can attest to this. We are hardly ever happier when it comes to doing things for our family than when we are able to actually provide and pay the bills. Does that not feel just great? To know that you are taking care of your family and being able to do that is an unbelievable thing. And the reason that it feels so unbelievable and the reason that it is so great is because that's how we were wired up. We want to do that. We're providers. Now, this goes further than just money. We should be providers for our family in other ways. We should be nourishing wives. Wives, you should like that. We should nourish them. We should take care of them. We should lift them up and encourage them. We should teach our children. We should provide education for them. But we should teach them ourselves what it means to be godly men and women. Men, if that comes from you and your household, that is going to have so much validity to your children. It's just the way that we're made. Cultivate our children. In fact, Scripture says that if we don't cultivate our children, we exasperate them. I think that's worth noting. I think it's worth us. I kind of made the joke last week, and I had people saying, "Oh, he was talking about my family after the service when I was talking about, you know, it's, you know, be fruitful and multiply. Just don't have, like, you know, midget demons." You know, that turn into felons kind of thing. This is the cultivating part of that. You know, we're not just cultivating ground here anymore. We're cultivating other things. We're cultivating relationships with our wives. We're cultivating relationships with our children. And we're raising our children in godly ways so that they know what it means to live a godly life. I'll tell you another thing that I see that men of our culture fall into. We fall into, this is going to sound funny at first because it's going to be like some infomercial thing, but we fall into scams. We see a guy at midnight on TV dressed like the Riddler, and he is offering government money to us if we will send in $100 or something. I don't know. But you know what is that? I want to clarify this, and I felt like this fit here because I feel like we as men oftentimes fall into those things because we do desire to provide for our families financially. And what we do is we see things like that, we see a scam, and we allow ourselves to fall into that temptation. That's not the way it works. Any guy that has ever worked and been able to provide for his family will tell you that he has worked hard. And guys, we have to work hard. That's part of our makeup, and I'm just telling you, you won't be satisfied until that's living life. Let me say this too about that. Because of the time that we're in right now, economy, whatever you want to call it, I think that we need to be really careful about coming around other men. And wives, you need to be supportive of your husbands when they lose a job, when they get into one of those situations, because that's happened here in our church several times in just the last few months. And I just want to encourage us as the church to come around those people and lift them up. And we as the church should be about helping them get jobs. We should do that. And there's people in the church that have done some of that, and how awesome that is to get to see that. That's the body of Christ being the body of Christ. All right, third thing. We're supposed to be saviors. We're supposed to be saviors. You can throw in there with that, you know, protectors or be protective. You know, back to Ephesians 5, we read that just a few minutes ago, that men are supposed to love their wives as Christ loved the church. We're supposed to be saviors. Jesus was a savior, and this sounds crazy at first. Now, this is not talking about that we are going to redeem people from their sin, okay? Let me just clarify. Guys, none of you are going to redeem anybody of their sin, okay? Only Jesus does that. But we were made in the image of God. And part of that image of God that we have been said to follow is that we are to copy Jesus Christ, that he is our example. And what did he do? He was a savior, not just in redemption through sin. He was a savior even in earthly things. He was constantly looking for people to serve. Again, you're going back a little bit to this leadership thing because in the world of Christianity, in God's chapter of leadership, that equals service. That equals serving people. It's putting others before yourself. That's when you are a leader in the church. And in this passage of Scripture, this Ephesians 5 passage that we just read a few minutes ago, when it's saying that men should love Christ just as Christ loved their wives, just as Christ loved the church, it's saying that we should do everything that we can for them, even until death, that we would give our lives for them. Ladies, that ought to make you feel pretty good. I mean, this is where, and I tell people this all the time, we don't see this type of stuff for ladies, that they're called to that. They're called to some different things. Again, this is how men glorify God. They live this out. Ladies, we'll be talking about you guys next week, and we'll be talking about some things that you have been called to do. And in doing those things, you live those things out, you give God the glory. We're to be saviors. Saviors deliver others from evil. What does that mean? That means that godly men are people that are pushing people toward holiness and not toward evil things. And we say, well, of course it is, Chris. We all know that. Yeah. But do we not do the other sometimes? Don't every once in a while, don't we just kind of joking around or just kind of seeing how far something will go, we kind of nudge somebody toward the evil thing? Oh, yeah, you ought to do that. Kind of thing, you know? Godly men push others toward holiness and deliver people from evil. We care for others. Jesus cared for others. I think this is probably like the biggest thing, and it kind of goes back to the service aspect of Jesus' life, but that's who God has called us to be. Godly men care for others. I have some men in my life that when I look back and I think back to some of these guys, I think about the things that they did for people. I think about some of these men that I grew up getting to see these men serve people. Some of them served elderly people like crazy. I'm talking about, like, you know, we're constantly like looking for opportunities to, you know, fix things in their house, or, you know, taking care of a widow, or even if it was just being there for another guy that's going through a hard time. You know, and I think for instance, the church has maybe fallen on this a little bit, because the church has done, like, you know, the extreme. Sometimes I say, well, you know, men, you should be emotional men. You should be, you know, out there and just crying over everybody, and you should be, you know, that guy. That's not true. Men, you are to be manly men. What we're talking about today is being manly men. Because this junk is not easy stuff. This is hard work. That's being manly, godly men. Is it important for us to be able to be emotional in those things? Absolutely. Absolutely. But not to the point that we sacrifice who God has called us to be as His men. It's very important. You know, this laying down our lives, this Ephesians 5, laying down our lives, being willing to do whatever it takes, you know, this being a savior, you know, this is biblical chivalry. Check that out. I mean that's what this is. You know, and of course, you know, we're not wearing coats these days too much to be able to put over the puddles or anything for you, but, you know, ladies, we should be doing things for you guys. We should be nourishing you. If you're courting somebody, if you're dating somebody, if you're single, you should be chivalrous to them. You should treat them in a way that they know that you respect them as a godly woman and that they see God in you. The flip side of this, the other side of this, you know, cultivating this in our culture and in our church and that thing, is I think that it's important for us to remember that we need to cultivate this in young men. Guys, our sons learn from us. Our daughters also learn from us. I tell people all the time, anytime I do marriage counseling, one of the things that I go through just briefly in marriage counseling are the barriers and the things that we do to protect our marriage at my house with me and my wife. There are certain things that we will and that we won't do. We're not alone with people of the opposite sex. There's a short list of things that we just do to protect ourselves from the outside world, and things that we do. Basically, I love doing them for her to know that I love her that much to do that stuff. This is what I tell people when I'm doing marriage counseling with them, premarital counseling or whatever, is that I say that it not only is important for my wife, and not only is important for the rest of the world to see me putting her first in that way, but it's important for my daughter and soon to be my new daughter. I want them to grow up, and I want them to be able to say, I'm not going to date somebody any less of a man of God than my father. I want them to grow up and see how men can really treat women, because the last thing on earth I want for my Gracie or my London is for them to grow up one day and to have some guy that treats them like junk. Because I couldn't stand up and be the man that God has called me to be. And it doesn't mean I'm perfect. I'm falling all the time. But hopefully the thing that she sees in me as she grows up, as they grow up, is a man that is trying to live for the Lord. Protective. We're protective. We're saviors. We should be protective of our families. We should be protective of our wives and of our children. We should be protective of our relationships with God. Ladies, if we get jealous because of something, and I'm not talking about like the extreme, like, you know, psycho jealousy stuff here. I'm talking about like good jealousy. That should make you feel good. That's because we care. We love stories like David and Goliath. Why do we like those stories? We like those stories because we see opportunity to be the savior, to be a hero, to be used in a good way. When you go home today, if you're married and you lay down in your bed tonight with your wife, I want you to lay down and I want you to turn over to her and I want you to just look at her and I want you to sing this to her. I want you to say, I can be your hero, baby. Do that tonight, okay? Just do it for me, all right? Just do it for me. She's probably not going to get anything out of that, but just do it for me. I just think it'll be funny. The next thing on the list right there, we're two left here. The next thing on the list is to be a sage. You're like, a what? A sage. S-A-G-E. What does that mean? That means people seeking godly wisdom. That means men that are seeking godly wisdom. There's not a whole lot to this one, to be real honest with you. All through Scripture, we see nonstop, even Jesus himself, getting away to spend time with God. How do we spend time with God? We spend time with God in prayer, and we spend time with God in His Word. If you want godly wisdom, this is it. This is where it's at. Godly men will be in this right here. This will be important to godly men. It does not mean that, you know, I tell people all the time, it does not mean that you're, you know, reading a book a day. Please, you know, not many people can read a book a day and even understand what it's talking about. When I spend time with God in the Scriptures, I'm reading like a verse or a small passage, and then I'm just going, God, what are you saying? It's a time thing. It's important. The book of Proverbs in of itself carries weight that is pushing men, check this out, it's pushing young men to grow up and be godly men. And that's what we talked about last week, where the man leaves his mother and father and goes to join in one flesh, gets married, all that stuff. Why is that so important? Why is, you know, important to not have sex before you're married and all of those things? It's all important because it's a part of the process of what God has created to create a way for us to want to grow up, quit being little kids to some degree, and be good godly men to our wives. Or to be ready for good godly women when they come along. Sages constantly bring wisdom. They're constantly calling attention to Scripture. They are growing intellectually. This is not your Rambo scenario here, okay? Now you may say, Rambo, he knew a lot about the jungle. Okay, I'll give you that. He knew a lot about the jungle and weapons. All right, we'll go with that, okay? But the type of wisdom that we're looking for here is what it means to be godly men, what it means to lead your home, what it means to care enough to have a relationship with God above all. The last thing, the fifth thing, we are reflectors. Talked about this a little bit earlier in the series, but again, this I'm giving you a list. I don't give lists a lot, but I'm giving you guys some lists today so that you can hold on to this thing. You can put it in your Bible. You can constantly be coming back to it and going, I'm failing there. I need to work on that a little bit. Or I'm not doing so good with that. Oh, hey, I'm doing pretty good with that. Last thing is that we're reflectors. It means that we are reflecting the glory of God. It means that in what we do, in where we work, and in our homes, that at our churches, that we reflect who God is. God sees Jesus, that people see Jesus Christ in us as men. What's that look like? What does it look like for somebody to see Jesus in you guys? What does it look like for Jesus, somebody to see Jesus in us? It means that we're these other things. It means that we're caring for people. It means that we're nourishing our wives. It means that we're preparing ourselves for the woman that God might bring to us if we're single. It means that we love others before ourselves. And ultimately, it means that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is real, and it permeates through who we are. Reflecting the glory of God is the most important thing that we do while we're on this planet. It is what we were created to do. We were created above all of the other creatures to be in the image of God, to bring Him glory. It says in all creation, all the earth brings Him glory in Isaiah 43:7. Humanity is the pinnacle of God's glory made in His image. And man does this in a special way. We do this in a special way. I think for so many of us, we have trouble, you know, thinking about that and studying through that and trying to figure out what does that mean for my life. I encourage the men of our church. I encourage you to start basic. I encourage you to start in a way of just spending time with God. Because here's what happens. When we spend time with God, our hearts begin to change. Our hearts begin to look like His heart. We want to do these things. It's not like, you know, yeah, some of it's hard at times because it's like hard work, but we will desire it. We desire a lot of things that are hard work. We're conquerors. We're lords, as we talked about last weekend. And if we can get to the point where we want to conquer having a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we can get to that point, we will see unbelievable things begin to happen in our lives and in our homes and in our families and in our church. Men will desire to want to serve God at home, at church. They'll want to come here and hold babies while we're in here worshiping. I long for that. I see that in our men. I see so much potential in so many of the men in our church that sit week by week waiting for a wife to say, hey, would you want to do that? Instead of saying, hey, why don't we do that? If we're not careful, the image that we will show the world when they hear that we're Christians is this. Because again, we're supposed to be the image of the king. We will show the world a king that can't rule. We'll show the world a husband that can't cultivate. We'll show them a fool. We'll show them someone that's unwilling to save or inept to save. Jesus lived every moment of his life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. For us to be leaders, for us to be providers, for us to be sages, for us to reflect God, for us to be saviors, means that we're not being scammed by this world. It means that we're going to do everything that we can to fulfill our call in living in his image. I am praying that for our families. I am praying that for our single guys. I'm praying that for our church. Because until that happens, we won't grow any further than we are in our relationships with Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us this morning. God, your scripture teaches us and shows us so many things. God, these five things are just five basic things that in your scripture, God, it is obvious, God, that you want us to know these things, you want us to be able to do these things, and you've called us to these things. That tells us that it's possible. You're not going to ask us to do something that's impossible. God, but the only way it's possible is, Lord, if we let you do it in us, if we let you do it through us. God, I lift up the men of our church. I lift up the men of our community, God, that are friends with men of our church right now that are sitting right here. God, there are people that are unable to be here this morning, God, and they need to hear this just as much. But God, I just pray, Lord, that they could see it in us and that they would desire that different life, that they would desire to be closer to you. God, we're not perfect, and you know that. God, we have fallen, but God, you pick us up. And you help us dust off. And God, at the end of the day, God, all you're asking is that we follow you with our lives and that we live our lives for you. God, it's not that hard. We just allow ourselves to get in the way. And God, I just pray this morning, God, that we would do our best, God, to get out of your way. God, lead our families. Lead our men. Change the hearts of our men. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would begin to work in them from the inside. God, that you would begin to do things in their hearts right now, God, that just bring them to a place where they are more willing to serve you and to glorify you and honor you and just be the men that you've called them to be, that they would love their wives, that they would prepare themselves for their future wives. God, that they would just be men of God, manly men of God. God, may you be glorified in who we are. In your name I pray. Amen.